The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has visited the Iraqi capital of Baghdad overnight to mark the impending closure of the United Nations Assistance Mission to Iraq after 22 years. On the 14th of August 2003, a few months after the US-led invasion that toppled Saddam Hussein, the UN Security Council passed Resolution 1500 establishing the mission, which will now end on the 31st of December. The UN will be leaving behind a very different nation. So, to use the phrase George W. Bush notoriously and prematurely used about Iraq, is this UN mission accomplished? And more broadly, what is the state of Iraq in 2025? Ali Al-Maloui is from the Horizon Advisory Group and an expert on Iraqi politics, political economy and governance, who splits his time between Baghdad and London. And I'm very pleased to say that Ali joins us on Sunday Extra now live from London. Welcome, Ali.
Thanks for having me on, Julian.
Could you explain for us how it is that this decision to wrap up the UN mission in Iraq has been made?
Yeah, sure. So it's important to clarify, first of all, that the UN presence in Iraq is split into two main tracks. You have, first of all, the UN country team, which is composed of the various UN agencies, agencies that I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of, UNICEF that deals with children's welfare, UNHCR, the World Health Organization. And all of these agencies have been present in Iraq, many of them even before 2003. But then you have a separate track, which, as you mentioned, is UNAMI, the United Nations Assistance Mission for Iraq. And it's this mission, as you said, that is wrapping up its mandate. And so essentially what happened was the government 3 years ago requested that UNAMI's mandate be ended. And then the UN Security Council issued a report, an independent strategic report to assess the situation in Iraq and to look at UNAMI's mandate. And it came to the conclusion, just like the Iraqis believed, that there was really no need to continue the mission. And so it was agreed mutually that by the end of this year, December 31st of this year, that UNAMI's mission would come to an end.
You said that this was sort of initiated by the Iraqi government. Could you sort of unpack that a little bit more for us? Who is in power in Iraq at the moment, and how would you describe the country's political system today?
Sure. So our political system is a parliamentary democracy, and the government is a coalition government. It's always been a coalition government, since the first fully fledged government of 2005. It's led by Prime Minister Mohamed Al-Sudani. And it's this government that made the request. And really the reasoning behind it was twofold. The first was a belief that Iraqi leaders and Iraq's political elite no longer require a third party to mediate between them to resolve their differences. Because over two decades, these Iraqi elite have become accustomed to negotiating with each other. And they're really now, after 22 years, there really is a consensus amongst the ruling elite that it's not in Iraq's interest nor the interest of all the various factions to fight it out, really. It's important to come to agreements and not to let political violence overcome any agreement, any disagreements.
Hmm. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres overnight said that Iraq is now a country at peace with increased security and a clear determination to win the battle of development. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think that Iraq is on a better track now. Of course, Antonio Guterres during the press conference last night said that Iraq is, quote unquote, a normal country. And there is a desire now to maintain a relationship with the United Nations, but one that is more normalized, one that doesn't necessarily require a political mission. And as I said, that political mission initially, when UNAMI was established, was to help mediate between Iraqis themselves. And so I would say say that from that standpoint, there really is no longer a need for that role. But, you know, there are still huge challenges ahead for Iraq when it comes to development. And of course, you know, the regional instability is one of the factors that really worries a lot of Iraqis. And you know, there is in everyone's mind kind of a worry that this regional instability may come to impact Iraq's hard-won stability gains.
Yes, back in March for the Wilson Center think tank, you wrote an opinion piece arguing that UNAMI's mandate should be extended on the basis of the regional situation with the Gaza war still ongoing and escalating tensions with Iran. Do you think that this closing of the UNAMI mission is premature then?
So what I was really trying to argue was that UNAMI's mission perhaps could be extended, but with a very limited scope. And that scope would be to assist Iraq in external mediation. And that's because back in March, the situation in the region was still very unstable. And actually, only a few weeks after I wrote the piece, the 12-day war between Iran and Israel erupted. And so I think that given that Iraq has fought so hard to achieve the kind of stability that it has after 22 years, that, you know, Iraq should use all of the tools in its toolbox to maintain that stability. And one of them could have been perhaps to maintain a very limited scope for UNAMI, to have this sort of extra layer of diplomatic cover for Iraq in the eventuality that conflict was to resume in the region, because it's really imperative that Iraq avoids getting entangled in any regional war.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Ali Al-Malawi from the Horizon Advisory Group. Ali, I wonder if we could look back over the 22 years of the UNAMI mission. What would you say were some of the key moments, and I suppose what's in that history, and what is your analysis of its overall impact?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, a key moment was on the 14th of August of 2003, when the UN Security Council approved a resolution 1500 that established the UNAMI mandate. And really, it's very difficult to talk about UNAMI and its role in Iraq without first talking about a man named Abu Mas'ab al-Zarqawi, who some of your listeners may remember. Zarqawi was a Jordanian national, and he was a Salafi jihadist who had operated for many years in Afghanistan. And then just prior to the US-led invasion of Iraq in 2003, he crossed over into Iraq, and he established the first terror cell inside of Iraq. And he began to recruit sort of disgruntled former remnants of the Ba'athist regime, in addition to other Arab jihadists that had entered the country. And he began work establishing what was to become a terrorist organization, this organization known as At-Tawheed wal-Jihad. And for the first 4 months after the end of that war, the fall of the regime, things were very quiet in Iraq until Zarqawi decided to launch his wave of terror attacks. And the first one began in early August. It was an attack targeting the Jordanian embassy. It was a bus bomb. And then, as I said, on the 14th of August, the UN Security Council approved the mandate for UNAMI. 5 days later, Zarqawi attacked the UN compound, which was situated in the Canal Hotel. And this was a devastating moment for the UN mission because, first of all, it killed 22 people, including the UN Special Representative, de Mello. And it really restricted the ability of UNAMI to engage with ordinary Iraqis. And then there was a second attack the following month, which meant that UNAMI had to entirely scale back its staff inside of Baghdad, and it had to move inside the heavily fortified green zone. And this had a huge impact on the way that UNAMI was able to operate inside of Iraq, given that it had such an important mandate, which was essentially to help Iraqis transition, to a parliamentary democracy, and to transfer power from the temporary, what was known as the Coalition Provisional Authority that was led by Paul Bremer, to a fully-fledged, fully-elected government. That was a huge challenge, and UNAMI had a huge role to play in that. But because of the security concerns and the fact that UNAMI had been targeted by terrorism, this really restricted its ability to maneuver and to navigate Iraq's very complicated terrain.
And just finally, Ali, is this decision broadly being welcomed in Iraq?
Yes, indeed. It is being welcomed. I mean, I think that there is generally an agreement on both sides that is important for Iraq to turn the chapter and to turn the new page. And I think that if you look at the press conference between Prime Minister Sudani and Antonio Guterres last night, there was a commitment from both sides to maintain a relationship with the United Nations through its various agencies that are based in Iraq.
Ali Al-Malawi, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today.
Thank you so much.
And Ali is director of the Horizon Advisory Group, a London-based consultancy specialising in political economy. And as we heard, Ali splits his time between London and Baghdad. On Sunday Extra, it's 22 minutes past seven.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.